All right, so in the Ron on Mem Aleph, so he's quoting the Sefer Truma.
Now what?
If you have plates that you're washing in a milchig wash bin.
A machvas cholevis. A machvas isn't like a pan, like a
fire. Yeah. He means like a basin over here.
Okay.
Because you could washing the dishes, and they would fill up a basin with water and heat it up and wash. So they're plates that you're washing in the milchig basin. B'mayim roschin, right? Mm-hmm. Go ahead. That's it. So he says. So the problem is you have a milchig basin and fleshig plate, and they're both b'nei yomon, so they both have good tam. And it's in Mayim Roschen, so I guess you had to heat it up like Ala Eish, so it's like a Kli Rishon. So what happens? What happens is the tam of the tam from the plate is going to go into the water, and the tam from the basin is going to go into the water. And so therefore, in the water, you're going to have a mixture of Tam Basar and Tam Cholov, right? And so the water will become Asar, and then once the water becomes Asar, it'll go back and Asar the plate and the basin. Sounds reasonable. So the Ramban says, it's a mistake. This is a mistake. Sefer Trum is making a mistake. So what's the mistake? So he says, what's the mistake of the Sefer Truma? He says, this is exactly Dagam Shalu Bakara. There's no difference between washing milchig and fleshig plates together in the same hot water. That's effectively what the case is, right? And taking a fish that was cooked in a milchig pan, in a fleshig pan, and eating it with meat. Okay? So I got to stop there. So the Ramban says that the Sefer Truma doesn't make sense. He's making a mistake. He says it's exactly parallel to the case of Dogim Sha'olu Bakara Mutalochlam Bakutach. Right? Were you here? So he says it's exactly the case of Dogim Sha'olu Bakara. It's parallel. Why? The Ka'ara is the Ka'ara. Right? You have two cases. One case you're cooking fish in a Ka'ara, and the other case you're cooking water in the Ka'ara. So the Fleshig. Fleshig ka'ara that you cook the fish in is the same as the fleshig ka'ara that you're boiling the water in.
Oh, we're
switching the case a little bit.
Yeah.
You don't mind, right?
I thought you were just washing.
Yeah, but how do they wash it? They would boil the water in the they boil up the water and then wash in the hot water. So worst case scenario he's saying is you have hot water that's getting the tam from the basin. We're going to switch the basin to fleshig, even though the case was right. Just easier for us. So
the fish is being cooked in the ka'ara.
Yes.
Okay.
That he's saying it's just he holds it doesn't matter if it's a hot fish on a cold plate or if it was really fried in the pan. For the Ramban, there's no difference. So we're calling it the ka'ara. You know what I'm saying? We're taking a little bit of liberty here. But the basic line, the basic reasoning is the you have the fleshig source. That's the ka'aro or the machavas. You have the thing that's being cooked in it. That's the fish or the mayim, right? And now, just like you can take the fish and eat it with milchigs, so you can take that water and mix it with the milchig tam inside the milchig kli that you're putting in the water. Kol shor v'kayim. What's the problem? Right? Saying the water is like the fish, basically. And then, just like you can take the fish and mix it with milk, so take the water and mix it with the milk of kli. Well, what's the difference? That's his argument. But you realize right away that there's something fishy with what he's saying, right?
What is it? I don't realize.
You sense it though. You sense that he's somehow misrepresenting the case, chas v'shalom. But it seems like he's somehow misrepresenting the case. Because what's he saying? He's saying the water. He's saying that.
Equating the water to the fish.
But is it really the same as the fish? Look at the diagram carefully. There's a big difference between the fish and the water. Right.
There we go.
Right? In other words, the Ramban is very good as long as he keeps saying that the water is going in, that the tam is going into the water, and then the water is going into the milk. But simultaneously, the milk is coming into the water too.
Yeah, so there's no, like...
At the same time, you're cooking the things in the top one might... I'm just saying, there's something that we should think about here. It's not exactly parallel. Say for a truma wasn't missing something this big, right? It's not exactly parallel. The top one, it's happening in two stages. It's going into the fish, and you're taking it off, and you're putting it with the kutach. The bottom one, simultaneously milk and meat are coming into the water. Okay. And even though now the Ran is explaining, the Ramban is explaining further, that you might notice something's wrong with this case. Why? Because here, what's happening? You have two tam rishons, right? You have a tam rishon in the pot, and a tam rishon in the machavas, and a tam rishon in the kara. So what's going into the mayim? Two tam shenis are going into the mayim,
yeah.
Right? Now, what was the Ramban's whole theory of why is not bar nat mutter? Because the tam sheni doesn't make a tam shlishi. That's his whole reasoning, right? That the sheni in the fish won't make a shlishi into the kutach. But over here, it's not that the sheni is not a tam.
Uh-huh.
It's that the sheni won't make a shlishi, was his theory, right?
So,
but over here, you have two tam shenis swirling around in the same water, right? So that's what he's saying. He's saying, even though we said that it's the shlosha nosnei tam that you need, right? And kan nami shlosha nosnei tam heim. He's trying to explain why here it's also considered three. How is it three over here? It sounds like it's two. It sounds like two tam shenis are going to hit the water and become basar b'chalav. Where's the tam shlishi?
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead. That's good. Okay. So here are the three. The meat into the plate.
Basar b'karos.
That's one.
Ke'aros b'mayim.
The plate into the water is two.
Mayim b'chalav.
And then the water into the milk is three. Okay, but he's just repeating the same thing. He's just still avoiding the question. Good. V'lo amrinan.
V'lo amrinan chalav shebamayim nisarev im tam sheni shel basar shebahen.
Ah, that's our problem. But why don't you say that in the water is really a tarovis of two time shenis?
Yeah.
You don't need any time shlishi. You have two time shenis.
Oh, so he's acknowledging that.
He's acknowledging that. Go ahead.
Kishem she'ein omrim bedagim de tam chalav shebakutach nivla bedagim v'yehe osram.
Ah, he says, but the truth is, you see from the case of the dagim that's true. Because we don't say when you take the dugim that they have a tam sheni in them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you say, aye, but maybe when you mix it with the kutach, now you'll have a tam rishon of the milk into the dugim, and the dugim will now have a mixture of sheni and rishon. Why don't you say that? Good. He's just making the question worse. The opposite way, he's making the question worse. V'chein
b'din. V'chein b'din. L'fi she'ein basar shebadugim o b'mayim. Osrin ad she yisarvu im hachalav ve'yidnu tam zebeze she'in basar b'chalav osir le'olam ela b'nosein tam
Hilkach
havu luhu tam shlishi ve'akol mutter.
Oh, so this is what we were trying to explain yesterday. The Ramban is learning that by basar b'chalav, how do you make basar b'chalav?
An actual... both.
You have to have a tam, you have to have a mixture of the tamim, right? You have to have a mixture of the tamim. So how do you have a mixture of the tamim? Only that each one gives of itself to another. So in other words, in the simple case, you have the basar, and the basar gives tam to the milk. Or the milk gives tam to the basar. But this could also be played out in the realm of tamim. So I can have a tam rishon of basar and a tam rishon of chalav. Right, and if they would like, let's say I cook the fish with meat. Let's take the case. Let's say I cook the fish with meat, right? So now the fish has a tam rishon of meat. So if I would take the fish and eat it with kutach, so that's what the Ramban's saying. The chiddush of tam ki'ikar is that a tam rishon is also like meat, that it has a shein basar and it can give a tam basar. Okay, so if I had a tam rishon in the fish and I mixed it with milk, then I can make basar b'chalav. How? Because the milk will give a tam of itself, and the tam rishon can still give a tam of itself. So now they're mixed via their tamim. Okay, but if I have two tam shenis, the whole idea of not barnat is that a sheni can't make a shlishi. So how can the shenis mix? How? It's not possible. You'd need a shlishi in order for the two tamim to be considered interacting. In other words, he's saying that how do we consider basar and cholov to be mixed? Only when they exchange tamim with each other. They only consider it to be exchanging tamim if I can say that I have something that is giving tam of itself to another thing. But that's the whole point of tam sheni can't give a tam shlishi. So even though I'm going to have in the pot two tam shenis swirling around together, but neither one is exchanging tam with the other. So it just comes out that I have basar and cholov side by side. That's not basar b'cholov. Would you be able to drink that water? No. Because it would be like an issur d'rabbanan of the water, of having milk and tam of milk and meat at the same time. But it wouldn't make basar b'cholov and then asar the kalim. Give you an interesting example of this idea. You want to hear an interesting example of this idea? Okay. We have there's a halacha there's a phenomenon in halacha that's referred to as a maimid. You hear of a maimid? Right? So a maimid means something that makes something else stand, something firm. So for instance, gelatin is like a maimed, right? If you take gelatin, it makes the liquid firm, right? So that's called a maimed. Or more commonly is...
Twizzlers?
No. More commonly is cheese, okay? How do you make cheese? You take milk, which is a liquid, and you add certain enzymes and a certain chemical process that makes the cheese solid. So you say, well, what made the cheese solid? The rennet, it's called. So the rennet is called the maimed of the cheese. Right? It converted it from a liquid to a solid. Okay. So we say, I mean, not everybody agrees, but there's a shita that says anything that's a maimed is never bought. Okay. So let's say I have 100 gallons of milk, right? And I add one drop of rennet. Okay. And where does rennet come from? The stomach of a cow. So let's say I take a treif cow.
Is it basar though?
Yes. So let's say I take a treif cow. Let's say I go to France and I find a place they make special cheese. They use the old-fashioned method of using the lining of the stomach of a sheep or whatever it is. So it's really treif. It's nevela. They take, and I go to the guy and I say, okay, look, I'm interested in eating your cheese. Let's say I know the milk is kosher. So I say, well, how much rennet do you put in? Right? He says, I only put in 1,000th, the ratio of 1,000 to 1. Right? So I might say, in other cases, I would say it's bottle. But since the rennet is the maimed of the cheese, so now I say it's not bottle, even though it's just a minuscule amount. Why? Why should it not be bottle? What's the svara of saying it's not bottle? Why do I normally say that things are bottle b'shishim? What's the normal reason of saying that something is bottle b'shishim? Because there's no more tam. Right, there's no more identity in the tarotis.
That's a good way to phrase it.
Right? But if it's a maimed, you can't say that. That's the svara. In other words, the svara is that tam is just one way of knowing that something is in the taroos. I can taste it, but if I can see its visible effect, then it's also considered like it's not bottle. Okay, not everybody agrees with that svara, but that's a svara. So therefore, I'll say I cannot have this cheese. Why? Because it has nevela in it that's not bottle. Correct. So how do you make cheese then? No,
we
use a kosher lining of the lining of a cow that was shechted.
That
How is it possible to do? Now I have busser that's not bottled in my cheese. Right?
Yeah.
Right? This is a mystery in Yeridea. So the Shach explains. He says it's not a problem. It's true that the busser is not bottle, but since it doesn't give tam to the cholov, it's not busser b'cholov. This busser b'cholov is only when it gives tam. So tam can only give up to shishim. So once I have, if I have 1,000 times the cholov against the little bit of meat, so is there any tam of the meat in the milk? Absolutely none. Right? So busser b'cholov is only when there's a when there's an eruv of tam. So it's true I have a little bit of meat that I'm eating with my milk, but since it could never give tam, it's impossible. Even if I would cook it, it would be impossible for it to ever come to busser b'cholov midaraisa. Therefore, even midrabanan is mutter. Because the only time we say you can't have meat and milk together is when, if you would cook them, they could become basar b'cholov. But the only way they could become basar b'cholov if you cook them is if the meat could give tam to the milk. So as long as I have 1,000 or 61 times, 60 times the meat, the milk against the meat, so it comes out that every piece of cheese is like a suspension of milk and meat. But I can eat it. Why? Because the meat and the milk could never come to basar b'cholov. Why can't I take a cold piece of meat and a cold piece of cheese and eat them together? Why? Is that basar b'cholov midraisa?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Basar b'cholov midraisa is only derech bishul. Okay? So why can't I eat it? Because midrabanan we say anything that if you would cook could become basar b'cholov midraisa, you can't even eat them when they're not cooked. That's the drabanan. Okay? So the Shacha says, yeah, but over here, even if you cook it, it wouldn't become basar b'cholov. Because it can only become basar b'cholov if the meat can give a tam to the milk. Even though we say, davar shemaimed eino batal, that's true, that means it's there. It means the shame basar is in there. But it doesn't mean it can give a tam to the milk.
Okay.
Right? So it comes out, it's like I have a tasteless meat inside the milk. That can't be, it can never become basar b'cholov. Right? So same thing over here with the Ramban. That is true, you can have, you'll have a tam sheni of milk and a tam sheni of meat floating around together in the water, but they can't ever become basar b'cholov. Because the only way they can become basar b'cholov is if they can exchange tamim. If the tam from the meat can go into the tam of the milk, and the tam of the milk can go into the tam. But they don't have a tam shlishi. So they're just swirling around together, side by side, and they can never become basar b'cholov. So he holds it all. So actually, now that we're saying it, maybe you could even drink the milk, according to him. Right? Stavi, you could. I mean the water. That's his answer. That's the Ramban's answer. He says, since even though they're two shenis together, that doesn't matter, because the only way you make basar b'cholov is if the sheni could give its tam to the cholov. Anything other than that is just considered like side by side, like neutrally they're sterile side by side. That can't happen either. So that's why you can take the kutach.
Exactly.
Because even if the milk went back into the fish, but in order for it to mix with the tam of the basar, the tam sheni would have to give a tam rish, would have to give a tam shlishi to the rishon that went into it.
There's no other way.
There's no other way. You can get as close as you want, but until they actually give of each other, give of themselves to each other, you'll not have basar b'cholov. So the Ramban, I mean, it's just it's a beautiful answer for the Ramban, but. And that's why he knocks out the Sefer Trumos. But the Ran is not happy. Go ahead. Okay. So the Ran, so the Ramban was a very influential thinker. And the Ran says that the ones who came after him were drawn after his svara, including the Rashba. Rashba and others, they took his shita, that you can take hot, boiling hot water, boiling hot milk pot, and put a fleshig plate in it. Not a problem. Of course, by the way, this is all assuming that the kalim are clean. If there was actual, mushes of milk or meat on either one, it would be a tam rishon already. Go ahead. I'm astounded about them.
Yeah.
The Ran himself says he's astounded by this idea. Sha'ani Roa Divrei Bala Trumos al Nechonim Umbarurim. I think the Sefer Truma is exactly right. Go ahead. Right, it says, by the case of the Dagim, so what's the difference? The Kutach never got a Tam at all from a Tam Rishon, which is the Ka'ara. The Kutach, the Milchik thing, never got a Tam directly from the Tam Rishon. Go ahead. Right, the only way the milk got Tam was from the Dagim, and those Dagim already a Tam Sheni. Go ahead. Right, he says, but over here, the Tam of the Cholov that goes into the Mayim is Mekabel Tam from what?
The Tam Rishon that was in the Ke'ara.
That's right.
Of Bosar. Deman Lemalan Shelo Yisarvu Plitat
HaBosar
the Plitat HaCholov Ba'atzman Shelo Ben Tzayis HaMayim.
Because who's to say that what? That the Tam of the Basar, who's to say that the Tam of the Basar that's floating around in the Mayim, right, which is a Tam Sheni, and a plate of the Cholov itself is not going to mix without going through water first?
Isn't that a Tam Sheni too? Pot of dairy pot in there, so that when it comes out, it'll
be a Tam Sheni. Hilkach, lo havi no sein tam bar no sein tam. Ella, no sein tam rishon hu, she no sein tam becholov. Hilkach, lo dami klal. Ah, that's the question. He says, Hilkach, lo havi not bar not. Ella, no sein tam rishon hu, she no sein tam cholov. In other words, he's learning that who's to say that we look at it like there's an emtsoim of mayim, that was the Ramban's whole thing, dagim haynu mayim, right? He says no, that's not true. Maybe the two pots have tam rishon in them, and their tamim are joined together simultaneously when they come out. So now you just have a tam rishon giving its tam to the tam of another tam rishon. You never have the second knot, beheter. That's what they call, that's what they call knot bar knot, the hetera. The second knot has to be beheter. But if the two knots are coming, the two second knots are coming together. Oh, but once the mayim is usher, it goes back and ushers everything.
So this is all happening, the rishon happening in the mayim, which makes that mayim usher.
That's right.
That mayim can't give up a tam rishon.
Oh, but once we have isser, so then we don't have
the halakha and the basar.
No. Once this whole idea of not bar not is only a heter in making basar b'cholov. Once you have the isser basar b'cholov, then it's usser ad sof olam. As long as you can taste it, it's going to be usser. Let's finish up what he says. Go ahead.
Demai
de sharina. He says, "Va'anan lo sharinan, va'anan lo sharina el basar b'cholov kiyosi bo dehavi shnei nosnei tam shel heter." So he's trying to prove to you now. He's saying, "Look, how does this all work? It only works when you can say that the second nosnei tam is beheter. Because if you say the second nosnei tam is beheter, then that means that it's just a tam of basar in the mayim and a tam of cholov in the mayim, but they can't exchange tamim." To make themselves basar b'cholov. Okay. But what does that show you? It shows you if the second nosein tamim are be'isser, then it will be basar b'cholov. So that's what he's saying is happening over here. Hilkach dafka k'shatam sheni omad beheter below ta'arov es cholov. Avokeva avokan shatam sheni lo omad b'fnei atzmo klal. Ela tekef shaboli olam nis'arev b'ta'amo shel cholov mistavra vadei da'asar. So he says, the whole idea of not bar not is that you can get the second not beheter. So that's only by dagim, where it comes into a neutral environment. There's nothing else in the dagim. There's no cholov in the dagim at all. So the second not comes into the dagim. The dagim is all beheter. And now it won't make a third not into the cholov to create basar b'cholov. But over here, it's a hostile environment. The minute it comes out, of the minute the milk tam comes out of the pot, there's a fleshy tam that's also coming out of the pot. And you can't call it a not bar not teter. Yeah. So there are two interpretations of this Ran. Two interpretations. Now, one interpretation is he means literally that the pots are touching and they're going to meet in the middle. Or he's saying you don't consider the Mayim like an Emtsoim. You don't consider the Mayim like an Emtsoim at all. But you don't consider it like a medium.
Is it according to everybody?
I mean, I'm sorry, in terms of what he, in terms of his svar, but it's fine. I mean, you see, if you take a look at the Rush, no, what I'm just saying, what does he mean? What is he really worrying about? Is he worrying like the way I drew it, that they're going to be so close that they're going to emerge into each other, or is he saying more conceptually speaking that if there is a, if it's a simultaneous plata into one thing, we view it like they're going, we view it like, halachically speaking, that there's an eruv of the tamim in the middle, in that neutral thing. Is he saying literally they're going to come into each other? He's saying halachically, this one, the mayim is itself the eruv tam of the two kalim. No, just whenever you cook two things simultaneously, whenever you're cooking with two pots simultaneously, so now the Mayim itself has a din of the, what is the Tarovus of the two Tam Rishons? The Mayim is the Tarovus of the two Tam Rishons. As you know, he says you don't go down, you don't track the Tamim like on an individual level. You don't follow each Tam that comes out of the pot and say, well, when is it mixing with the milk? You say in general that if I have a kli that's basar and a kli that's cholov, and they're both cooked in mayim, so then the mayim itself is the tarovus of the tam of the milk and the tam of the tam of the two pots. You don't look at it on the pot level, on the tam level. You look at it from the level of the source. In other words, where are my two sources? The two pots. So are the two sources giving a mixture of tamim to each other? Yeah, because the water is like the middle ground where the two tamim, where the two pots are creating a thing together. So that itself is considered an eruv tam of the two tam rishons. You know what I mean? That sounds like more the way he's putting it, because he says, kevan shetam sheni lo ama bifnei atmo klal, elatekev shabol liolam nisarev b'tamo shecholav misnaver vade dasar. It's not totally clear what he's saying, but that's the way I think it's. I think that's what he means. Not literally that they're touching, but that halachically speaking, that's what we consider a tarov. So the two tam rishons, yeah. But anyway, so the Rush also quotes the Sefer Etrumos, and he says like this. Well, he has a different Sefer Etrumos. Where's the Sefer Shumas with the? Like this. Karosh and Ishtam Shabim Basar, Shehut Chubiorachol Leves, Vishneim Bnei Yomon, Havili Naparnat. So he has like the Ramban. If you had Karos that you use for Basar, and then you wash them in a Milchig Ba, in a Milchig Basin, and they're both Bnei Yomon, so it still is a Naparnat. HaBasar B'Kara. Right, that's one. Vakara b'mayim, two. Vodenu heter. Atzius arev oson amayim tamacholava niflat minayora. Right, and he says, but according to the Rivan, who says that you're not allowed to cook, then this bashlu is different than alu. Right, then it would be asur. So he says an amazing thing. He says v'li nira da'aflu Rivan hakol muter. The lo asur nisbashlu el lo ochlam bekutach. Shetam sheni shel basar nosin tam tochma moshus shel cholov. It's a strange sheet. He says, I think that even the Rivan who says you can't cook fish in a fleshig pot and then eat it with milk, that's only because the tam sheni in the basar gives tam to the tam sheni of the basar will give a tam to the cholov. Aval hocha shetam sheni shel basar shebesocha mayim. Ain no sin tam toch mamoshus a cholov, elemis arev im tam sheni shel cholov, shebesocha mayim, nirisha mayim mutarim, vakol mutar. See, there's a funny sheet over here saying that what? To hard the run, the rush is difficult. Because he's saying what? He's saying the tam sheni in the tam sheni in the fish is usher. Why? Because it gives a tam to a mamish. But over here, the tam sheni can only give a tam to another tam. What about the tam rishon in the pot? Doesn't seem to be concerned about that. Omnam yesh lesser mitam acher, because of the mamashas. Well, you see it like this. There's a little bit of a problem in the gears of the rush. He says omnam yesh lesser mitam acher. I'm in the chavtes, by the way. The end of chavtes. Lefi shekishem madichin ka'aros nidbak b'hu shamnuna shel amachol. There's food stuck on the plate. V'nogeya biyora, and it touches the pot. V'nesra hayora mimamoshes habaser. V'nichnas bava kol aser.
If you cleaned it off,
it wouldn't be a problem. But if you look at it, if you look at the Madonna Yom Tov, I think he's right on Lamed. He says it's a little bit of a mistake here. He means like this. He means two separate reasons. One reason is mamashos on the kli. V'gam mitam nogeya biyora. And also like this case, that they're going to touch. The pots will actually touch each other. And then you can't say that it's going to go through the... then you don't say it's going to go through the mayim. So he's saying two reasons. One, if it has shamnunas, and the other is if they touch. Because if there's shamnunas, why does the shamnunas have to touch? It doesn't make any sense. Right? Yeah, but that's a difficult svar. Difficult svar to say that the tam sheni in dogim is different than the tam sheni in the than if a tam sheni can't give a shlishi, what's the difference if it's going into the kutach or if it's in the mayim? I have to leave that problem. There's a rush in Psachim and in Avodah Zarah where he seems to be machalik between. There's a rush in Psachim and in the Avodah Zarah where he seems to be mechalik between tam in a mayim and tam in a food. He seems to say that the tam. I'll tell you my svar. I mean, I'll tell you what I think is right, and it's just a modification of what we were saying the other day. We were saying according to the rush, according to the Rivan, who says nisbashlu is not mutter, right? Because all the tam comes in. So I think the only way that I can see to work out these other little problems that we had left off with is that the Rivan is really learning Me'ikar Adin that it is a not bar not. Because the Kli, Me'ikar Adin, we consider like a second, like a new substance, and the Tam from the Kli is a Tam from a Tam. The only thing is he's Machmir by Bishul when it's Nicker, when the Tam is Nicker. It's only a Chumra when the Tam is Nicker. So when, that's what the Rush says. The Rush says in Psachim, he says, if you cook the fish in the pot, it's going to be mashpiach the fish. It's going to taste, you're going to notice it. It's going to taste different. So then the Rivan is machmir, not because you really hold it isn't napar not. It really is napar not. But there's a chumra that when you taste it, you shouldn't, there's a separate lot of chumras by basa b'chol. So a guy shouldn't eat the fish and notice the taste of meat and then eat it with kutach. Midraban, a gzera, whatever it is. But in these cases of the mayim, there's really nothing to talk about. You're not going to notice you're not going to notice anything. That's what I think he means. Okay, that's all.